Welcome aboard, you people. This is Starship Rokoncha with Anna DeBlancis, all for another day. Ah, broadcast this one.
My Monday's not starting so well.
What happened?
Well, the Bears, first of all, you carry that with you, I think, a little bit into the Monday.
Oh, easy.
Don't
easy.
You?
To about Wednesday morning for me.
Yeah. Maybe Tuesday night. I really, especially a loss like that one. Now Toys R Us filing for bankruptcy. That's crossing.
Oh, no.
Toys R Us.
What's the giraffe going to do?
Unemployed. You know where he's going to go? He's going to go work with that thing from the Jewel.
Red oh, yeah. Eye? That guy that you don't seem to like.
Yeah.
The one that's kind of.
The one-eyed monster?
Yeah. The one-eyed monster. Yeah.
That they put on the bags.
Yeah.
Kind of scares you a little bit.
What's his name again?
Joe. Joe from Jewel.
Jojo.
Jojo, yes. Right.
I
thought he was a bachelor. It was a bachelorette.
Fletcher.
Yeah, this is an actual thing. I saw, it was interesting. I was in a Jewel I love Jewel.
Your favorite Jewel?
No, this is, I was in a Jewel on the Northwest Side, beautiful Northwest Side, Friday night.
Near the hip?
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
Near,
yeah. And so I walk in there, and there's a, and I'm just stopping to get carrot sticks and cash. You know, that's what I do. And I'm, they have a little cutout of Jojo, the Jewel mascot, with a little hole in it where you can put your head in.
You take a selfie
with it?
So
the kids could, get down there and be Jojo. And I thought, and there was nobody there. I was just right in the middle of the room, and nobody was doing it.
So did you think about
it? So you're like, who's going to take the picture of me?
Right. Well, and I thought, now, who's doing that? Who's got to get a picture of Jojo? I don't get it.
I think Jojo's cute. I don't know why you think he's creepy. He looks like Mike Wazowski from the Monsters, Inc. series.
Yeah, but it's a big red eye. It's like,
I just have one question. Why?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
You kind of need a furry mascot.
I don't think you need a furry mascot for Jewel.
I think you do.
I don't.
Why?
Because the kids love it.
Then somebody takes a
picture
with it.
No, the kids hate it. The kids are afraid.
The kids are scared of it?
Just saying.
They're scared of the Jojo.
I'm just saying that.
Jewel just seems like the type that's like, you know what? We don't need a mascot. Everyone else wants a mascot? We're Jewel. Stop by.
I would say, I think Jewel's big enough that they don't need a mascot. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, but they do. You know, there's a lot of competition now, but they're great at what they do. I mean, if you want that grocery store experience with everything, that megastore grocery store experience, you know, Jewel has got it. Jewel's got the good produce. They got everything. I mean, they got everything you need. You need batteries, you can get batteries. You don't get hemp batteries like you do with that, like Whole Foods, right?
That's a totally different experience.
Right?
They should have a honey wing mascot. That would be great.
Yeah, or the sheet cakes. It should just be a sheet cake. Because the Jewel sheet cake doesn't get any better than that.
Cakes. I've had many birthday parties.
So, I mean, I don't know.
From there.
I don't know what they're thinking. And they do have really great produce.
What they have right now? Cotton candy grapes. They're only in season for the next 2 weeks. I recommend everyone tries them.
Are they the little bitty ones?
No, they're regular green grapes, but they taste like cotton candy. They're a little bit expensive. It's like $4 a pound, but it's worth it.
Okay, there you go.
There's a little tip
for
us.
There's our Violetta tip of the day. Here we go. Been waiting for that. It only took 15 minutes before we got to it. That was really good. All right, well, very good.
Be a daily thing now?
Yeah, there's... Cotton candy grape.
You're going to regret not tasting the cotton candy grape.
I didn't say I wasn't going to.
The Concord ones are out too, and those are my favorite. They have those at the Jewel right now, that's another short season
right.
item.
But I'm just going to tell you right now, if you are in the management of the, this is an attention to all Jewel management, whether you're corporate management or you're a store manager, whatever it is, I want you to count the number of people who take a selfie with the cardboard cutout of Jojo and let me know.
And do some data.
Maybe I'm
on
wrong.
That. Run the data and then run the data on how many kids are afraid of the one-eyed Jojo.
Yeah, you don't need Jojo. You just don't need Jojo. It's just me.
Yeah.
Thank you. I have spoken.
I do enjoy the Marianos as well. I will say that. I saw Bob and Nina Mariano at the Green Tie Ball. There were supporters of that on Friday. A bunch of people from the station went as well. Longtime friend Grant DePorter raised money for the Green Space of Chicago. Very successful event this year.
Very great.
Even though we weren't emceeing, it still was very good. It's a very fun night.
All right. Let us now find out. If you thought her tip about the cotton candy grapes was good, wait till you hear her tips on the traffic right here. Violetta Biomedic.
Flashback to the 80s and laugh along with the Goldbergs, starring Chicago's very own Jeff Garlin. Weeknights 10:30 and 11 on WGN-TV.
Rokan Show with Anna DeBlancis right here, 720 WGN. Tom Skilling joins us. That man's a legend.
Yes.
He is. Yeah. He's back.
Yep.
You know what? They found that plugging the mic 101 was what was wrong with this thing right here. Apparently, somebody over the weekend
unplugged it,
sabotaged us.
Oh.
Yes, they pulled.
I can tell you what's going on there. I know what's going on there. Having worked my whole life in radio, I know. And Tom, I think you know what happened there too.
I do.
Yeah,
I do. It's a plot, Ro.
Yeah,
it is a plot.
An evil plot against Skilling.
People unplug their microphones.
Yes.
Around them, that means that they are either cutting up the bosses, or doing something they know they shouldn't be doing, or so they turn all the microphones off. It's an old radio trick. You go into a studio and you sit there and you talk about whatever's happening in the world
freely,
and you unhook the microphones because they can listen to any microphone anytime, anywhere.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. So in other words, you think there was some deep conversation about the management here over the course of the
I just think
weekend.
About anything. You know, it's sort of like we'll go in there, we'll have a conversation.
What could we possibly say that was mean, though?
Right, that's true.
So it could be two people that are maybe two people wanted to share their love for each other quietly in your closed office.
Wow.
Well, I don't know, because you have such solid like you say, management over there that you respect and like.
Yes.
I think it's Demetrius Ivory because he's trying to sabotage you.
Oh, you think it's Demetrius?
Yeah, don't you think that's possible?
I don't
know. I saw another guy over the weekend I did not recognize.
another guy? Yeah.
Probably Mike Jensen.
Jensen.
Yeah. Maybe Jensen did it. You know?
Is he the one you always speak badly about because he doesn't like the weather when it's really hot?
Who's that one? No, Mike is up from New Orleans, and I think he's a little irritated at all these tropical storms and cyclones hitting the countryside.
Maybe he was going to swear and he didn't want to do it.
I know.
Let's go with that.
He prevented it and decided, cut the mic before I say something I forget, that I resent or...
Regret.
There's the word. See, more than the mic was unplugged here for a while, guys.
I understand.
It's really strange, though, when you start and you hear Judy talking, and she says, Tom, and then Ro jumps in there, and Tom's talking and can hear himself on his headphones.
And hear himself in his own head, which is important. Because when you're talking, you can't hear yourself in your own head. That's like a nightmare.
That is a nightmare, I'll tell you. But, Ro, when you start hearing the voices in my head and I start hearing the ones in yours...
Boy. You don't want to hear what's going on in here, pal.
Watch out.
I know.
You don't want to be inside here looking out. That
no.
Is,
I can say the same on my end.
That's really true.
Happy Monday, guys.
Thank you very much. Now, let's talk about Marie here, because Marie appears to be developing fairly significantly.
Following the same MO of the last two, rapid intensification over unseasonably warm waters in a low shear environment. There's just nothing to stop it. And this one is not only going to land-base the islands that are already laying ruins, like the British and U.S. Virgin Islands and many of the northern Leeward Islands, but this one looks like a direct hit for Puerto Rico the way it's going. And, it's a Cat 4 or 5 with 150-mile-per-hour sustained winds. And, the rains you get and the storm surge and the waves and all the accoutrements of one of these tropical cyclones. So this is another natural disaster unfolding is what we've got here.
But the track right now.
Yeah.
Before we even get to Marie, Jose.
Maria. I just met a girl.
I was very, very theatrical in high school, as you can imagine.
And in the West Side Story is such a good one to be
sure, why not?
Yeah. Love that one.
Exactly. I can't remember.
When you're a jet.
I couldn't remember. Was I a jet or a shark? I don't know.
You were a jet?
Here's the thing. This Jose appears not to be threatening the U.S. mainland.
Except with eroding and punishing surf. And rip currents for those who may be taking a late season swim or wish to, all the way from the Delmarva Peninsula and the Outer Banks of North Carolina north into New England. They do have tropical storm warnings up from the Delmarva along the Jersey Shore to Long Island. And then you get up to Cape Cod, Block Island, and northward, they have tropical storm warnings up.
But this is not a hurricane situation, though.
No, this
or
is a
super
cat
storm.
One. It's just been sitting there so long, it's managed to kick out the heck of a wave pattern. And so there are mammoth waves, given the low intensity of the storm that are hitting the coastline up there. And so, and that thing is going to go and start doing the loop-de-loop again off the shoreline. But it's not expected to touch the U.S. shoreline directly, just its waves and perhaps some few outer showers up toward New England. But it's Maria that is the real.
All right. Now, what is the impact? Now, Maria, obviously, it's a real problem for our friends in the Northwest Caribbean,
yes,
who have had all kinds of trouble.
Oh, it's terrible. They don't have the electricity on or the water working in the Virgin Islands or the British Virgin Islands
and
in most areas.
And the destruction as well.
Barbuda gone, right. Essentially.
Yeah.
Parts of St. Martin will take years to fix because mm-hmm. of the, you know, these are islands. It's very hard to get the material and personnel there to get those up and going. You've got incredible, incredible damage up and down that chain, the Leeward Islands.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Puerto Rico obviously still has some damage. It's not as profound in Puerto Rico as we once feared. That's good news for America. But for all of our friends there, it's a problem. This track of Maria, will Maria go through that same region?
It will go through the same region and hit Puerto Rico, which really was just grazed by Irma more directly. And they're talking about incredible rains. You know, there are mountains in the interior of Puerto Rico, and those wring the moisture out of these tropical systems. So they may have local 25-inch rains and, you know, the associated life-threatening mudslides. Plus, they're talking about a 6 to 12 foot storm surge and you know, wind sustained at 150, and that would mean gusts to 180 or more if this works. And that may be conservative because it's forming over the same high ocean heat content water. And you know what else is interesting? It's been 19 years since a major hurricane has landfalled in Puerto Rico. The last one was Hurricane George. And I remember that one. That went across Haiti and the Dominican Republic. Our Bob Jordan was there vacationing. They were covering a baseball story. Mm. One of the Cubs.
In Puerto
players.
Rico?
Yeah.
When the Cubs played?
The Dominican Republic.
Okay.
And they were there. And Bob said they stayed at a resort first day and then went to the other side of the island because they and had to come back. And he said when they came back, the resort they had stayed at a week earlier was gone.
Oh, my gosh.
And he said the trees were down everywhere. That was George. And that's the one that lambasted Puerto Rico, too. So, you know, this is bad news.
It is.
Yeah.
They're saying there are evacuation orders issued for parts of Puerto Rico right now. They're already trying to get people out of there. And at least one airline, Delta, is offering $199 flights to get out.
Wow.
So reverse some of the gouging we saw in some cases with the hurricane hits in Texas and Florida. We're now seeing the, you know, people get on board early on to say, hey, we'll help you get out of there at a low price.
And you know what's scary? I've signed up for the newsletters out of the U.S. Virgin Islands and the BVIs, and they were running down the state of affairs after Irma in, say, the BVIs. And most of the people there are in damaged homes. And so what once served as shelters aren't available in this kind of situation. So they also, I heard reports that St. Croix has been the point from which they've sent a lot of the relief aid out because it was not as badly damaged in Irma. And in this storm, it could take a more serious blow. So,
and the United States, in terms of Maria, it's going to turn back. It's projected to turn back out away from the continental United States.
Right? It is right now by the majority of models, but there are some that bring it close enough to the U.S. I mean, that's at least, you know, that's out beyond that 120-hour window that you feel most confident with. And even at the end of that, there's some margin of error in there built in. But for instance, our global model takes the thing toward the Carolinas and maybe the Mid-Atlantic, so and on one run. But the majority of models seem to favor this thing coming up through the Turks and Caicos, maybe hitting parts of the Bahamas, and then kind of turning northward. So we'll hope that that's indeed the scenario.
As we head through September here, as we head to the end of September, there's still another good solid month of this, right?
We're halfway through the hurricane season right now. We've had 13 named storms, 7 is average. So we've had twice the number of named storms in the Atlantic Basin. And the hurricane season does not end till November 30th. Though what happens is as time goes on and cooler air builds over the continent, you tend to get shearing jet streams to start developing. And that keeps the storms potent perhaps down on the Caribbean islands and the Caribbean. But as they move northward, they'll tend to encounter the shearing as time goes on. That's not in place yet, but that's the kind of thing that mitigates, to some extent, the potential for a major strike on the mainland as time goes on here.
All right. Oh, Tom.
But I know.
All right.
Look at this weather coming up here. We could have a string of near 90-degree days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and even Sunday. This is unheard of. If we had not had a broken the 80-degree streak today with that easterly lake breeze, and there were 80s out in the suburbs, but if we'd not done that, we were headed for the longest string of consecutive 80-degree late-season days on the books around here. So this is really quite an we're getting into some of that warm air that sat out over the west the whole summer.
Great.
All right.
And autumn begins officially 3:02.
What?
3:02 p.m.
Today?
No, on Friday.
Friday.
All right. Right about us, the Carnuba wagon.
Well, just in time. We'll need that little drinky poo on Friday.
I can see, Anna, you're going to have to.
It's going to be a rough fall.
It's going to be a rough week for you, Anna.
Watch out.
Bring the chemotherapy. You know, break it out. And whatever, the light table and
all
the rest.
Yeah, the artificial lights.
I've already broken that out.
Thing right. That's already come
right.
out. Well,
winter
you won't need it this week.
Is coming.
Yeah.
Very Game
yeah,
of
that
Thrones.
Does happen seasonally, bro. You know, it's just, it's a shame, but it's one of the realities.
Yeah, the alternative is not
Which
so good.
Side of the wall do I need to be on for the winter? I need to know that.
You're on the cold side, I think.
I want to be wherever Jon Snow is, because he seems like he can take care of business.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Be on the dragon's side. Yeah. That's where you want
to
be.
I want to be, I need
side
to be
of the
by,
dragons.
I want to be wherever the dragons are. I need the dragons.
Yes.
Yeah. I might need a dragon to take me to Tucson or something, you know.
We're going to be very nice to you, bro, and make it as easy as we can as we transition toward the, you know, the cooler, shorter days.
Yeah.
Winter is coming.
It is.
All right, thank you.
You bet.
Goodbye.
Thanks, Tom.
Bye, guys. See you, Anna.
See
Here
you later.
Is Judy Pilak standing by. WGN is 2 minutes away. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Did you like how the president mentioned his building across the street from the United Nations before launching into his information?
Do you mind if we listen to that? A.B. Stoddard is joining us. A.B., I know, A.B., you probably heard this, but let's just play it again because I found this kind of important. You know, he's at the United Nations. This is his first speech as president of the United States.
Right.
And here you go.
Ladies and gentlemen, President Donald J. Trump.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. I actually saw a great potential right across the street, to be honest with you, and it was only for the reason that the United Nations was here that that turned out to be such a successful project.
You know, I just want to stop on that for a moment. Just a moment of silence for the honor and decorum of the presidency. If we could just, the passing of that. Why is everything about a real estate transaction
with
a guy?
He's a businessman first. He can't resist it.
Yeah, that's the channel that he's on. And I don't think it can change. That's
How was that received, though? I mean, it seemed like everyone didn't say a thing about it, I guess,
I don't think anyone who's gathered, I'm here in New York, avoiding the UN General Assembly traffic.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone here from any official capacity from any country, friend or foe, is surprised at this point 8 months in by anything Donald Trump says or tweets. I think that, you know, they are ready for full-on teleprompter Trump, rude Trump, go rogue off the talking points Trump and anything in between because, you know, they've seen this now for almost, you know, a really long time, not only in the campaign, but since obviously November 9th and after his inauguration. And I just don't think anyone, this is not going to shock them. I mean, they've seen what happened at NATO conferences. This is old news now.
Here's what we learned. I think we've kind of always known this, but here's what we know, I think, beyond certainty. Is that Donald Trump hasn't really thought about these issues, the issues of the UN. I mean, he's got talking points. He's listened to Limbaugh and other people over the years decry the United Nations, and that we're just a puppet of them. We pay for them, and they do all the bidding for liberal nations around the world, and blah 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 blah. It's an ancient and tried trope of about the United Nations forever. But if you're sitting around without water and no toilet seat, you know, the United Nations looks pretty good to you right about now. The reality is that he, other than those kinds of talking points, he doesn't really know what that organization does or the legacy of it, which is why that's all he could say. That's his small talk. By the way, I was building a building across the street from it. And I think it just indicates that he doesn't, the grand issues, he knows what the emotional reaction of the grand issues is, but the details of it are inconsequential to him. And my guess is he's starting to get that he might need to know more about those things, which is why his behavior, I think, has been a little different. Although this weekend, notwithstanding, it's been a little bit different. His Twitter stuff is still kind of goofy, but I want to get to the big bizarre New York Times story today.
Yeah, that about one's interesting.
About the two lawyers, the outside lawyers, including his new counsel, Ty Cobb, the grandson, right? The grandson or grandnephew, grandson, I think, of Ty Cobb, the baseball player. He's got a big beard and mustache. He's a flourishy guy. He's one of those, he looks the part of, you know, if you had to cast a guy in a movie to play some flamboyant lawyer, he'd be the guy. So he's sitting outside at BLT Steak in Washington, D.C., just a stone's throw away from the White House. And he's complaining publicly, sitting outside at a table to another lawyer about Don McGahn, essentially, who is the White House counsel. And the Don McGahn is, in the words of this overhearer, was a spy, and he's got others. And there may be other spies in the White House legal department, and that they're holding things at bay against them. Now, the White House lawyer, the White House, the legal counsel to the president, it works for the government. He's there for you and me. He's not there necessarily for the president, right?
Well, so in a Trump administration, the usual definitions don't apply. So it's a Don McGahn. When Comey was fired, he couldn't stop Trump from using. Remember when Trump said in the letter, which we learn now wasn't the original letter, mm-hmm. but he said, "Thank you for telling me three times I'm not under any investigation," mm-hmm. which is something that Don McGahn would have never allowed, but. I don't know how. All I know is that the original sort of overwhelm of the Russia probe, it became very clear that Don McGahn and the others couldn't handle it, and they needed to have outside people come in. And Mark Kasowitz came in, and then he left. And now we have the others. Jay Sekulow came and sort of, I don't know where he's hiding now.
But Jay Sekulow is a separate issue.
People were brought in to be grown-ups and sort of get this whole thing straight.
Yeah.
Stop the president and son-in-law from talking with each other. They were supposed to bring the A game and sort of calm down the children. And the fact that they would end up that they're all sort of still leaking out to get each other, and they are leaking. Most of the stuff we learn about this stuff is from inside the White House and the legal team advising people within the White House staff. And the president and the kids and stuff. So the idea of the two of them sitting there and having this conversation about these petty gripes and people hiding stuff from each other and everything is really astonishing, because they were the ones that were going to come in, see this from 30,000 feet, clean up the act, and make sure that the president was protected in the best way. And it almost looks like it was intentional. BLT Steak is literally steps from the New York Times Bureau. There's a New York Times Bureau, and then maybe there's one more door address and doorway, and then there's BLT Steak.
Do you think that intentional or real sloppy? I would think. Why would they talk about such serious matters when they know that that area would be a place that reporters would be, and other connected individuals?
It's amazing, but it's the whole thing is very dysfunctional. The piece that we saw, remember last week, about how someone wanted to get Jared Kushner out, but then the other lawyers were saying, no, it wasn't me. I guess it turns out it was Kasowitz, one of the first attorneys who left. But all of this kind of petty gripes out, leaked to the press and stuff, it's obviously not serving the president well. And I think since he hires the best people, I think it's pretty amazing. Mm-hmm.
Suicide by reporter. We've seen this a number of times in these last 8 months, 9 months now.
Well, Scaramucci, you're talking about one of the recent examples?
Yeah. Oh, he was a very good example. Almost all of them have said something. Bannon committed mm-hmm. suicide by reporter, right?
This is how they survive. I mean, look, they're all out. There's different feuding, factions, and they do that on purpose. That's why Breitbart writes stories now that Bannon is out, and he obviously has big beefs with Jared Ivanka and thinks they're evil Democratic globalists or whatever. But So they write stories about how, you know, insinuating that Jared and Ivanka are always leaking to the New York Times and the mainstream media. Everyone is playing a media game. They're leaking to their own set of reporters, and then they're trying to bust other leaks and, you know, bring that up with the president and have gripes about other leaks when they're, you know, when the other separate camp is leaking. This has been this way all along. It's the leakiest White House. And I think, you know, there was a recent example within the last week of the Justice Department not permitting some FBI agents who might have known about Comey's interactions with Trump from talking to the intel committees in Congress. And Mueller's investigation, it's not that the turf wars between Mueller's investigation and Congress stems from Mueller's concern that the leaks are coming, obviously, potentially from Congress, as well as the White House legal team. And if he wants to get to witnesses and surprise them or whatever, you know, investigators do, not have the witnesses have learned everything from the press, you know, he's going to need to choke off the chain of witnesses to the committees. But this leaking issue is enormous. Mm-hmm. It is really prevalent, and it's obviously not going away. That whatever dysfunction creates the leaking is still going on.
Very quickly, before we let you go, Russia, on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of how it is going to affect the rest of 2017, do you think the Russia probe is going to be bad for the presidency, neutral, or not of consequence?
I really do see it intensifying. I mean, you see the hiring of more lawyers for people in the White House, and then you see Mueller, you know, hiring more money laundering experts, financial crime experts, and they're really zeroing in on obstruction of justice, financial crimes, and then perhaps the subpoena to Facebook indicates that they presented a judge with probable cause of a crime and believe, and you know, maybe there's a connection to someone in the Trump campaign universe to the Russian advertising, you know, purchasers on Facebook. But at the very least, you can tell that Mueller's focusing on obstruction of justice. Perhaps a false statement given about the Don Jr. meeting from June of 16, and the firing of Comey and financial crimes dating back many years. And that it's clear that the investigation's deepening. I'm not saying that I know what they're going to find, but it doesn't seem to be getting less complicated. It seems to be getting more complicated.
I'm gonna put you down for a 7.5. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. There you go.
Thanks, AB.
AB Stoddard, the great AB Stoddard. Thank you from Real Clear Politics. You can read her and see all the stuff at Real Clear Politics, which is really a great website for all these things. Violetta's got the WGN traffic trouble spots.
In the last 15 days, Tampa Bay has practiced three times. Three! And we're 29-0, a last minute or second touchdown. There are not words for this. This is so bad, so confusing, so discombobulated. My God, if I'm Mike McCaskey, I'm jumping out of my skin right now. We, multi-billion dollar team, in a multi-zillion dollar operation called the NFL, and we're the footing and the foundation of this league, and look at what we put out there. I know those kids are trying hard, but I'm going to tell you what.
No, they're not.
We got some discombobulated, dumbass coaches.
That is Ed Obradovich from yesterday.
Oh, they were good.
Hamp and OB with Kaz show right after the Bears game, and I got to just tell you something. I'm listening to the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I listen to that show, and OB, God bless you. Thank you for screaming the truth. Thank you for making me feel better as a Bears fan, because I didn't know what to do. Can I just tell you a real quick story? So yesterday I was out in the morning. I decided to go play a little golf with some friends, and I ran into OB a couple of weeks ago, right at the same place we were playing. I was playing with the same guys. And one of my guys, who's pretty successful guy in this business, was with me, and he was deciding to he was gonna make a little wager with some other guys on the game. So he's calling in, and I talked to him. He goes, I'm gonna stay away from the Bears game. I'm just gonna stay away from it. I
because
go well.
He wanted to bet for them. Is that what
no? He wanted to bet. He wasn't sure where he was.
Okay.
So I talked him into it. I'm like, you know, the Bears, here's the thing, that they've only practiced, exactly what OB just said.
Yeah.
They only have practiced three times, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They've been displaced from their homes. Their families are displaced. Mike Glennon is going back. He's got to have a chance to show off what he can really do against a defense that he knows and understands.
Sure.
I said, and it was a 7-point spread. I said, you know what? I would take the 7 and take the Bears. And then about I don't know, 5 minutes into the game, it was 23-0. And my friend hit me. I mean, he literally hit me. Because as soon as I went up 23-0, he like slammed me and goes, what are you doing to me?
It's your fault. You had hope.
OB?
I did too.
OB.
I'm here.
I'm never going to do that again. I'm never going to suggest anybody bet on the Bears again unless the spread is 105 points.
But after the way they played in week one, you had hope, right?
Are you speaking to me, Anna?
Yes. Go ahead. All you.
No.
You didn't have hope.
Well, I'll tell you what. I was really looking forward to this team with the coaching staff putting a hell of a game plan together, going down there, and what I thought would be taking care of an advantage, a situation, unfortunately, but that's the way things go. And the way they played the week before, I know they ran out of gas a little bit in that first game, not in shape. But I thought that one game under them, they'd go down there, and we needed this win because we got Pittsburgh and Green Bay coming, and I'm telling you, there's a couple of nightmares coming here. Anyway, 29-7. Now, we look at what we do. We kind of really like to run the football with Howard, now even the new back, Cohen. But we can't even run the ball. We go down to Tampa Bay, to a team that hasn't even played a game, practice 3 days. 3 days! And the leading rusher was Cohen. He ran the ball 7 times for 13 yards for a 1.9-yard average. Now, backing him up was Howard. He had 9 attempts for 7 yards for a 0.8. And we are basically a running football team. Now, let's go to the passing end of the game.
Wait, hold on. Kevin, would you read your statistic, please?
Yeah, OB, not sure if you heard this one. Third time, just the third time since 1980, they've rushed for 20 yards or less in a game. Just the third time.
Oh, I thought we set an intergalactical record.
37 years. It's only 37 years. Don't worry about it.
Oh. So you're moving to the other side of the game on offense, passing. Okay, we have 6 wideouts, okay?
You?
And they're paid to do one thing, get separation, and catch the football, all right?
Uh-huh.
Our number one receiver is Cohen. He was targeted 9 times for 8 yards. He had 8 receptions. He was targeted 9 times for 55 yards. He's a running back.
Yeah, okay.
Now, you go defensively, and you have and you see nothing but mistakes. I see nothing but mistakes. Offensively and defensively, especially defensively. You got Trevathan, a linebacker, is a pretty good football player. He makes 2 horrible penalties holding on critical situations. That, come on, he's a better football player than that, a smarter football player, but it happens. Here's the astonishing thing. Out of the top 6 tacklers on the Bears defense yesterday, 5 of them were defensive backs. Let me repeat that. 5 of them were defensive backs.
Meaning that they
defend against the passes. They were the leading tacklers on this Chicago Bear football team.
Right.
Now, guys, we have a problem. I can't blame all 53 players. I thought we would get everything together this week and we would come out offensively, especially with Cohen showing the way he did the first game, that they would put a game plan of him in a slot, put him in motion, put him and Howard in the backfield, flare him out in the screen, throw to him, get him free where you can hit him. We did none of that. We did none of that. The spot for that kid is in the slot. Because, boy, I'll tell you what, you put him in motion, he's going to create a lot of problems back there. They're going to have to change a lot of defenses on the fly, and we don't see any of that.
Yeah.
So, hey, guys, you know what? We can't blame the players. You can't blame the 53 players week after week. Who brought them in here? Pace, the scouts, the head coach, the position coaches, and the offensive and defensive coordinators. They brought these kids in here.
And yeah, I guess that's true.
We won three games last year. Three games, guys.
All right, let me ask you a question. OB, let's call this what it is. Because I had him at 7-9, and I thought I was being fair, but optimistically fair. I don't see how they can win a football game. I watched the Cleveland game yesterday, and Cleveland actually moved the ball. Cleveland can actually move the football. Cleveland's defense actually tackled a few people. I mean, I think even against Cleveland, the other worst team in the NFL, we do not have a chance. And as you point out, this is a founding franchise of the National Football League.
My God.
We're a standard bearer, and we're in the third largest market, and actually the second largest football market. I mean, LA does, despite the fact that LA has two teams now. They're literally playing. The Chargers are playing in a soccer stadium. I watched that whole thing. I wanted to see what was going on with Jay Cutler, who, by the way, I did not feel badly.
He won, didn't
yesterday.
He?
Yeah, won. But here's the thing: Jay Cutler didn't throw a pass. Threw like two or three passes, including one for a touchdown that was over 5 yards. I mean, it was, you know, it's the same. This sort of game management situation.
Mm-hmm.
That's not, Miami's got some real players. He's not going to be Tom Brady, but Mitchell Trubisky might be. And now I'm starting to think if maybe you do wait on him. I'm going to go the other way here. Maybe you wait on this guy because you're going to put him out there where he could potentially, you could do damage to him either physically or emotionally. I'm sorry, mentally. And it's like, where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? What's going to happen? OB, what happened?
Yeah, well, also, OB, I want to ask you, because Kevin just played some sound about Glennon taking full responsibility for the loss. And then you heard Coach Fox say the opposite, saying, you know, hey, look, this was a team loss. This was not a Glennon loss. Not putting this all on Glennon, but didn't seem to want to say that he didn't play poorly.
Well, if you look at this whole situation, and it has to go back to the offseason, that's the reason why we are where we are. In free agency, they didn't want Cutler on this team anymore, okay? So he's gone. He's out of here. So they scoured the entire NFL looking for the best free agent quarterback. I mentioned this before on your show, but it's worth mentioning it again. And they looked at everybody, and they gave Mike Glennon a $45-plus million contract, $18.5 million guaranteed this year. And he was the guy that was going to take us into the future. Lo and behold, a few months later in the draft, what do? Number one draft choice. We need help everywhere on this team. What do we draft? We draft a quarterback. So my question would be to Pace, what the hell are you thinking about? You mean you go out in free agency and you say you found the best quarterback in the NFL. We get him here. We pay him a fortune. And the first thing you do in the draft, when we need at least a dozen frontline players, and you trade up to get a quarterback who wasn't even ranked number one? Now, there's a problem here, guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are a lot of problems here.
Yeah.
Well, OB, I guess I'm the big dumb one here. I thought these types of clunkers were in the rearview mirror. Like, I thought they would be respectable this year, kind of like what we saw in week one.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, absolutely correct. You're right.
And I was proven wrong very quickly. Week two, they throw up a clunker in Tampa Bay just like they did last year. I mean, what does that say about coaching to you, Opie? I mean, what do you make of these sorts of disastrous games that we've seen over the past few years now?
Well, you just go back to training camp. You go to pre-training camp. You know, and I've said this a million times, and here's a team that won three games last year, and they go into the exhibition season, which they should have been in pretty damn good shape. And there's another shape. You got to play. It's called playing shape. You get into – it's a wholly different thing. When you get out there and play, I mean, it's really different than running and lifting weights and all that. And we don't play anybody. And what I think you're going to see – I think you're going to see Trubisky come in. And I think the reason why he actually didn't come in the first game or didn't come in this game is because of what Pace did, okay, about getting Glennon, going out of his way to get him in here. And if they would have put, if they'd have pulled him the first quarter or the first half of the opening game, all hell would have broke loose. Pace and our great, great head coach, these guys would have been made fools out of in the National Football League. You mean to tell me you had a kid paying him $18.5 million, you went out and found him, and he plays a quarter or a half, and you bench him, and you bring in Trubisky? So they couldn't do that. They had to play Cohen. They had to play Cohen yesterday. I mean, excuse me, not Cohen.
Glennon.
Yeah, they had to play Glennon.
He's the exact opposite.
And they had to play Glennon this week. Now, what's going to happen?
They're going to play Glennon this week, you think, for sure? Well, obviously, he said he's going to do it.
He said that, but that doesn't necessarily mean it, does it? Would they say it?
I think he's going to do it because the only time he's going to bring in – I think he brings in Trubisky, it'll be so bad. They're going to go 0-4 here in a spectacular way.
Unbelievable.
And then we're going to have to play the, oh, God, please don't let him go 0-5 song again. And
it's a great song, but I don't like the fact that we have to play it.
We're going to have to play it. And then it's, the pressure's going to be on him, because I think if he goes 0-5, don't the Bears have to make a move on John Fox?
Well, I'll tell you what. You had Glennon the first week. You got Glennon yesterday. This is the third game. They'll probably start Glennon. But I believe you might see Trubisky. I don't know if he's going to start this week, but if things go bad, which there's a chance, good chance that they will, I truly believe you're going to see Trubisky come in.
Well, let me ask you a question. Why didn't they bring him in when it was 29-0 yesterday?
Mm-hmm. I thought we would see him.
I mean, you'd see him at least in the back half of the fourth quarter because it, you know, just get some reps.
Why didn't they bring him in there? They didn't want to get him killed.
Right, all right. See, that's my only fear.
A lot of injuries to that offensive line.
Oh, my God. And now you got sitting out. Potentially.
Compton was hurt. Cody Whitehair was forced to play three positions yesterday.
In the same play.
Which may have been the lone bright spot to see Whitehair actually play. How impressive was that, OB, to see a second-year guy play three positions on the offensive line in one game?
Well.
I mean, under tough circumstances, still, regardless,
exactly
still impressive.
What happens, boy. Yeah. I'll tell you what. Don't you think about the last 3 years, five wins, last year three. Wouldn't you think in 3 years with Pace and Fox that they could find a way of being in the game of football all these years, scouting, et cetera, coaching, being position coaches, now head coach, and now a general manager, 3 years? Wouldn't you think after losing, I mean, only winning five games 3 years ago, wouldn't you think we would improve? What the hell do? We win three games. Now
it's going the wrong way, OB, I think is your point.
Yeah, what are we doing here? Where's the improvement?
I don't know.
And what you're paid to do, general manager, head coach? The name of this game is not to win a game. My God, there's only 16 games, and you got to go after every one like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or if you don't understand it, get out of the game.
OB, we're gonna go now. I don't know what else to say. This is just. It's depressing because I got to figure out a team. I got to figure out a team to pull me through. Ohio State's already lost a game.
Just watch the Patriots and Tom Brady.
I hate the Patriots.
I know you don't like them, but I think it's time you have to turn a corner and just like Tom Brady.
Anna, just do one thing.
Yeah.
Just remember what I told you here today.
What's that?
Our leading rusher, and we're a rushing team, was Cohen. 13 yards followed up by Howard. All right?
And Howard is the number one.
Howard had 7 yards, yeah. 1.9 for Cohen, 0.8. And our top receiver is Cohen. He just happens to be a running back that's a rookie. Flip it on the other side, our top six defensive tacklers, five of them were defensive backs.
Yeah.
That's not a good setup.
That wasn't good.
In itself.
All right. That's enough of this. I got to go. All right, Coach.
Always
thank you very much. Appreciate
OB.
Thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
Good day.
Bye. It is a great show. Makes you feel better.
It does. It's therapy. It is.
Doesn't make me feel better.
Well.
That's maybe you should listen, Coach. You'd love hearing those guys talk about you.
Pick up a thing or two.
Oh my God, it was bad. It was
in every aspect. John Fox, as the Bears head coach, has yet to win in September.
Isn't that crazy? 0-8
under Fox.
Start out.
You know what? I'm a slow starter.
That's right.
That's the way I look at it. By the time we get to December, I'll start winning. When nothing else counts.
There's no chance.
Right. That's how I like that. That's good. And on a high note. That's what I say.
That's how you finish, Coach.
That's right. Yeah. It's not how you start.
Right.
All right. Violetta, don't you have the WGN traffic trouble spots? Rocancho with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right, when this Equifax thing happened last week, Anna immediately went on the computer to see if she put her Social Security number in, her date of birth, her full name.
What could go wrong having that data out there? It already is out there, it turns out, apparently, the data I got back.
So when you did that, within a day of this breach happening, they were like, well, we're going to set you up for free credit monitoring in the middle of the month. You like that? That's going to be great.
You may have been breached. They didn't even let you know for sure, definitively, that you were affected unless you weren't. It was a weird thing. If you weren't affected, they definitively told you that. Otherwise, you're in this question mark area where you're not sure.
Well, mine said you most likely were affected. But I don't know what that means either.
Most likely. It keeps moving on the scale of likelihood.
Right.
Kind of like the Bears injury report.
This is like, you know, when you don't want to tell somebody something directly, yes. So you tell them something. Well,
I may have.
You might. Who knows?
Most likely.
It's going to be okay. Well, if you want to do something about this, thank God a Chicago law firm has come to your assistance. Kenneth Lum is with us. He's an attorney at Corboy and Demetrio, and you have filed now a class action against Equifax in this breach. And this, do you have to know that you're part? You have to opt into this class? How does this work?
No. And in fact, we've been hearing this from hundreds of people. Mm-hmm. And in fact, you can type in four zeros or six zeros in Mickey Mouse and you'll get an answer. You may have been affected.
Wasn't hooked into anything at that point, right?
Exactly. So at this point, there's no indication that we can trust what Equifax is saying. There's no indication that they're even sure who is affected and who isn't affected. So we're recommending that consumers take action now to protect themselves. And that includes signing up for credit monitoring, probably not with Equifax and certainly not under the terms they were offering when they first put the website up,
right,
which included signing away your right to file a lawsuit, forcing arbitration.
I want to stop on that point because we talked about that right when it happened. And everybody's talking about this. And I've heard people say, well, you know, I guess I might as well because it would be free. Is that legal? To do that, to force, if you screw something up, can you, in order to rectify it, do you, it as a term of rectifying it or protecting you, that you're forced into arbitration as opposed to exercising your rights?
Well, that's a good question, and we believe it's not illegal. We believe that attempt under the guise of helping people fix the damage that they've caused, trying to get them to sign away their rights is a deceptive trade practice under both state and federal laws.
I agree with you.
Your Honor. I agree too.
I'm with him.
But I think the other damage here, I think, the way Equifax mishandled this situation, and there are a number of ways, is the fact that they knew about the breach end of July, waited 6 weeks to tell people when potentially your information is out there. I don't know if people's identities were stolen in that period of time, but certainly if there was a breach, they could have been, and there could be a problem in that window. Is that part of the lawsuit, or is there anything a lawyer can do because of the way they handled this whole situation?
Absolutely. And let me count the ways they've mishandled this. But the failure to notify consumers, we've also alleged, and we believe it, that's a specific violation of both state and federal law, to provide notice when your credit has been impermissibly released.
Mm-hmm.
So preventing people from protecting themselves. We've already gotten calls from, I can't even count the number of people who believe they've already been affected.
Who
people have, they're getting calls from police, and you know, people have already been arrested trying to open accounts in their name.
And that does happen, though. I mean, that's kind of, you know, standard sort of thing. But you'll never know where people were able to get the information, right? Because it's scattershot.
Right. Well, that's one of the issues that the lawsuit and other lawsuits filed will start to hash out once we start getting discovery about what information was lost. Then you can start drawing some conclusions.
And I've noticed if you wanted to just do the right thing to try to protect yourself, setting a fraud alert, which you have to do every 90 days and keep renewing it, or else freezing your credit, which is another way you can go about doing this, it's not easy to navigate that system either. I've been on the phone trying to do that myself, a maze of prompts they lead you through, and then they want your credit card information before you even talk to a human to see if you're affected or whatever. And it just seems like, gosh, there are no easy answers to get through this.
It's enough to make you quit and go to bed. And when it comes to the credit freezes, that's the whole point, because the companies hate those. But here are the things you can do. You can sign up for credit monitoring. If at all you can afford it, it's worth it to get that protection.
How much does that run, just so we know? Because that's not available on the automated system.
Right, and a company like LifeLock, I believe.
Well, that's a little different than monitoring. LifeLock is a more proactive, aren't they, than monitoring?
Both. Yeah. Both. Mm-hmm. They will monitor as well, and then they will provide resources.
You can do LifeLock as low as $10 a month.
Right.
Thank you, Violetta. Are you in the...
I might be.
Yeah.
And I think the top level of their service is like $30 a month.
Okay.
But they're not the only one. Right. I'm not plugging one over another.
Yeah.
You can also, like you said, put fraud alerts on your account on each of the credit bureaus.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not permanent, and it is not as effective as credit freezes.
They say you just need to contact one of the three credit bureaus in order to put the fraud alert in.
Right. I know for sure that TransUnion will transmit that to the others, and I believe all three of them are supposed to do that. But
mm-hmm. I wouldn't talk to Equifax if I were TransUnion or Experian. I would just tell them,
We're not part of them.
I am not speaking to you. Talk to the hand.
Right. How could you mishandle this badly? We should mention the Justice Department today opens an insider trading thing on those executives, the part of Equifax who, separate issue, but also troubling in terms of mishandling it, went and sold their stock in advance of this.
But they had the best excuse ever. It was almost a Bears-level excuse, which is, we get hacked all the time.
And we have a lot of stock. This is just a little bit of our stock.
What are you people so worried about? Don't worry about it. The likelihood that they'll pick yours is so low. It is rather mind-boggling. Why did your firm get involved in this?
We received so many calls of so many people who were concerned, and when we looked into it, we realized this was a really, really important issue.
All right.
So where do people have rights then on this whole thing? I mean, in terms of, would they get some kind of a monetary settlement at the end of the road here, or have some help with their credit monitoring? How does this work?
Well, exactly, and there'll be several. There's been a number of lawsuits filed. They will likely be consolidated someplace in the country. Certainly, some portion of it will continue as a class action. So that will mean everyone affected, even will be represented in some way, shape, or form. But there are also state-specific issues. There are cases that individual people may have where their damages may go well beyond the class as a whole, where they may need individual representation as well.
What kind of cases would that be? I don't understand that.
Think of all the things that could happen to you if your identity, if you're mistaken for somebody else.
Gosh.
You get arrested. Who knows?
Buy a house in someone's name. I mean, you can open credit
lines. Your 401k account is drained. Who knows?
Would that be... How would you be able to tie that back? Is there a way to tie that back to a specific breach? Would it be this breach or others? I mean, how do you do that?
Well, that you determine that in discovery. You take depositions, get documents, and try to figure that out.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, thank God you're doing that. I don't know what to do.
doesn't sound like fun, does
yeah,
it?
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
I think this one of the other sad things, too, is that the hackers that found this vulnerability, apparently there was a patch for this, and that it was a fairly fixable, easily fixable thing early on that was overlooked by Equifax. So it seems as if they, again, it comes back to the way this company handled it.
Another mishandling. Exactly. And it's maddening. The software that part of the software they used to build their website, they're told in March by the developers of the software that there's a bug. Here's the fix, publicly available. And they're specifically told, and they do nothing.
And most of us even do that when we get one of those alerts from on our Apple iPhone or something. You know, upgrade your software. We do it with. I do it quickly.
Exactly, but these people aren't dealing with their own iPhone. They're dealing with the most confidential information, the most important and private information of 143 million Americans. Mm-hmm. And we didn't ask them to collect it or to store it or to bring it all together and put it on a silver platter for identity thieves.
Yeah,
that's true.
You don't seem worried about this, Ro. You have your identity all locked up. What's going on?
I have no idea. You know what I'm doing right now? I'm actually going to the site to figure this out. I'll tell people on the other side how breached I am. All right, Kenneth Lum, thank you very much. Appreciate it. From Corboy and Demetrio.
If people want to get
a hold of Corboy and Demetrio about this, they can go to corboyanddemetrio.com. That's probably the best way to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
CORBOY. Just start with that. You'll find it. That's what the Google's for.
Yes.
Violetta Pitomenix for the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots, being brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation.
Why is that?
Why am I here?
Why are you here?
We enjoy your company, Coach.
On the planet? Why are you here in the studio with us? Yeah.
That's a good question. I think a lot of Bears fans were asking that question yesterday. Why am I on the planet?
Better times to come with Trubisky.
Yep.
I don't think so. I really don't think that's possible.
With the injuries and the lack of receivers.
Yeah. I think there's just too many other things going wrong. You know, it's like
a valid point.
It's a lot to fix.
Seems just about half the team's injured right now.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem like it's going to go anywhere here. That's good.
No. Nope.
A lot of bad yesterday. It's one of the uglier games we've seen in a while.
Oh.
Actually, you don't have to look that far. You just have to look back to
last season.
And also last year when they were in Tampa Bay when they lost by, 27 points? I think it was actually a worse loss then. With Jay Cutler.
Getting better.
Who played one of the worst games of his career. Which I believe is his second-to-last game ever in a Bears uniform because then he got hurt a couple weeks later and then the Bears cut him because he turns the ball over, which is what Mike Glennon did yesterday.
Did anyone secretly wish that Jay Cutler were in the broadcast booth for this game in particular for the pick sixes?
I didn't even think about that, but that's a good point because that would have been really interesting.
Your perspective.
Shut up, Jay!
Jay, what's it like turning the ball over three times in one half? Can you elaborate for us?
Throwing to the wrong guy.
I don't know.
Whatever. Who cares?
Jerk face comes out again.
Yeah.
He went 24 for 33 for 230 yards and a touchdown, by the way, yesterday.
See, so
pretty good touchdown pass, but it was a lot of game management.
Yeah,
there was little dink passes and guys were running in the open field. I mean, it was fine. It was, you know, he won the game. Managed the game, and he won.
Thanks to a missed field goal late by the Chargers.
Correct.
Yeah, by that guy. Was
Koo.
Lou or Koo?
Koo.
Lou Koo? Yeah. He missed a couple of them or something? Yeah. Or did they do a flashback? I don't know.
He had a little bit of a problem yesterday.
He had a problem.
Young Hoku.
That's his name.
Right.
Young Hoku. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he looks very self-doubting when he's up there about to kick the ball.
I'm going to miss this stupid kick.
This is not going to go well.
I got no chance.
Is not going to go well. That's okay. He has that look about him the whole time.
He does. He's a little frightened.
Yeah.
Not what you wanted a kicker in the National Football League.
When he runs out onto the field, it's almost like you see a tear in his eye.
Right.
Well, at least that's the problem for San Diego. That's not our problem. Our kickers, first of all, our punter is one badass, and thank God, because he's the only thing that works.
We got that going for us.
Yeah. And then our place kicker, I don't know.
Connor Barth?
He's
been fine this year so far.
If I were Connor Barth, I'd be drinking on the sidelines.
Right, why not?
I'd be sticking vodka in my Gatorade.
Whatever.
Yeah. Like, when's he ever going to get in?
Right.
For kickoffs, once. He's going to get in for one kickoff because they're not going to score and they're not going to put him in a field goal position.
Mm-hmm. He's got an easy chop.
Yeah.
For now.
So don't worry about it.
Yeah. Good old Barth.
Yeah, Barth. I like him.
All right.
All right.
That's it. I got to move on. I don't even know.
The morning continues through Wednesday, right? On the Bears game?
Mm-hmm.
Bears
until Wednesday morning. We can mourn tomorrow as well. And then Well, then, I don't know what we
then
do.
Then the period of mourning is passed until Sunday.
You have to wear black. You have to wear really dark navy blue.
I think we really should.
Just a reminder, the 2-0 Steelers are coming to town this weekend.
Okay, no problem what? There.
Yeah, they're good, Coach.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Good That's going to be a problem right there.
Yep.
Not lying about that.
It's the Top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Now home of the Edge, kitchen and bath showroom.
It's the Top 5 on the Rokan Show. Let's go!
All right, checking in at
number 5.
In Virginia, Democratic congressional hopeful Daniel Helmer has garnered national attention in a crowded race, which candidates often vie for any scrap of attention to break out of the pack. Now, unfortunately, it may not be the kind of attention that he was looking for. He's an Iraq War veteran, released a campaign ad against Barbara Comstock, parodying the movie Top Gun. Helmer sings a version of the 1960s pop standard You've Lost That Love and Feeling. Remember that from, from Top Gun? Awkward. Lyrical interlude moment.
Yes.
It's the worst campaign ad of the 2018 season, so said, so far.
But Barbara, you know it. You've lost that centrist feeling. Cause you've been right-wing appealing. We've lost that loving feeling. Now it's gone, gone, gone. You've got to go.
I'm Dan Helmer. I approve of town halls, bad singing, and this message.
Oh, my gosh. That is terrible. What's that ad motto? If you have nothing to say, sing it. Kind of what that reminds me of there.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
But it's getting attention, so.
Yeah, we played
he
it.
He needs to. He needs that.
You've lost that centrist feeling. I really hope the Everly Brothers just sue the crap out of them for that. All right, checking in at
number 4.
President Trump says he's considering holding a 4th of July parade on Pennsylvania Avenue or in front of the White House showcasing America's military strength. His inspiration for the military parade came after a visit with French President Emmanuel Macron earlier this year as he visited the country during a Bastille Day festivity, which tout armed service strength. Trump explained his military parade idea at the United Nations press conference.
But I witnessed we may do something like that on July 4th in Washington down Pennsylvania. I don't know. We're going to have to try and top it. But we had a lot of planes going over. We had a lot of military might. And it was really a beautiful thing to see. They had representatives from different wars and different uniforms. It was really so well done. But I came back, and one of my early calls were, I think we're going to have to start looking at that ourselves. So we're actually thinking about 4th of July, Pennsylvania Avenue, having a really great parade to show our military strength.
You know, countries that have to do those military parades do it because they're insecure about their strength. They do it to prove to their own people and to prove to the world that they're mighty. And most often, the run by dictators who want to see these kinds of things.
Kim Jong-un. Case in point, he has these such parades.
Correct. It is often a. It is to me one of my most proud things about America is that we don't have to do that. We know what our strengths are. We know the world knows what our strengths are, and we don't need to have a guy get a basically a mental erection over the fact that he's the commander in chief and standing in front of those sorts of things like some other crap kicker nation in this country, in this world, I should say. I mean, that is just amazing to me. And it's just, it's so beneath the dignity of the United States. That's what really troubles me about this era, is that we're giving in to all the mechanics and rhetorical flourish and all the stupid things that failed potentates and dictators from around the world have suffered, and this guy's walking blissfully into it because of his own ego and his desire to show that his missile's bigger than your missile.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really ridiculous. You know, the Soviets used to do it because they were afraid, and it turned out it was a toy, right? you find out is that when these guys go out and they parade these things, they're often missile canisters and not the missiles themselves, or they're dummies or whatever the case is. Or you can, you know, there have been infamous cases of air crashes at these things. I mean, there's no upside to who are you showing what to.
Well, I think he gave a little bit of indication that when he says what I saw in France, he was very complimentary of it. What I witnessed, something was so great, and we're going to have to try to top it, is what he said. We're spending over $700 billion on our military, and good news for you, France, because we're friends, is what he told Macron.
Yeah, well, we don't have to prove France. We're not going to invade France.
I know.
We don't have to prove anything to them.
We don't have to try to top the French.
I mean, come on. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
All right. You're three, you're two, and you're one. But first, Violetta's got the WGN traffic trouble spots.
The USS Indianapolis found after 72 years. Hear reaction from Illinois' only living survivor. Tonight's cover story, WGN TV News at 9.
Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here, 720 WGN. The top five continues. We're up to
number three.
Dear friends, the next time the world's problems make you feel the blues, turn on any channel. Well, except the news, because troubles aren't so troubling when you see them in HD. The world's a little better on TV.
69th Primetime Emmy Awards last night.
Yes.
Microsoft Theater in L.A. You had your Stephen Colbert hosting, and there was a surprise moment.
There was.
Right in the beginning when he was talking about how big the audience was going to be on television and who rolled out using a White House podium but the Sean Spicer.
What really matters to Donald Trump is ratings. You got to have the big numbers. And I certainly hope we achieve that tonight. Unfortunately, at this point, we have no way of knowing how big our audience is. I mean, is there anyone who could say how big the audience is? Sean, do you know?
This will be the largest audience to witness an Emmys, period, both in person and around the world.
Wow, that really soothes my fragile ego. I can understand why you'd want one of these guys around. Melissa McCarthy, everybody, give it up.
I didn't understand all the outrage. I didn't agree with the outrage on this whole thing. I felt like he was poking fun at himself and even the president. And he gave an interview to the New York Times today saying, I regret even talking about the crowd size in the way I did. I was wrong.
Yeah. I thought it was a great moment, a brilliant moment. And it is, and it finally a commentary that takes some of the, that makes it less scary, because it turns out that what we already knew, we knew at that moment, and what we're going to learn as this continues on, is that, you know, the people even around the president think he's as much of a goof as the people who, you know, they, I mean, the people who are close. Listen, the president appeals to a certain mindset in America, and it's becoming an increasingly specific mindset, and that mindset is really about him and people who are just fans of his style. They want a pugilist. They want a guy who's going to be tough and say all the tough stuff and make everybody feel better, you know, by saying things that are about as real as a dreamsicle, right?
I think so. Many people believe in his vision for jobs and the economy, and that's a central issue.
Well, they believe,
vote about, and they're willing to overlook some of the other personality defects for that.
Well, but he doesn't have any plans for the jobs. There are no concrete plans. He says he gives you an idea of what he would like, but we would all like it. He wants chocolate pudding and Chinese food. I get it. That's what he does. But that's not. But you have to somehow get to it. Here, so Sean Spicer coming out there last night, I thought was brilliant. And it does make you feel better, like, okay, at least Sean Spicer got it.
Yeah, he's making fun of himself and even the president, I would say, by saying, you know what, that wasn't the whole crowd size thing, it was a little ridiculous. And he even gave an interview today, like I said, regretting that he characterized things the way he did then. So he's just being part of it. But there's so much outrage about people saying now Hollywood's trying to embrace this man who lied on behalf of the president. It's,
oh, come on.
Making a little too much out of it. It's just, he was poking fun at the whole thing. And Stephen Colbert even said, I knew that this would lead to that, and I still thought it would be worth the comedic effort of doing it.
But since President Donald Trump got in office, Stephen Colbert has just lost it. He's like so
It's all
sad.
Politics.
He seems so sad and just like crazy about the whole situation.
What are you talking about?
Like, his satire just turned into, like, madness.
Well, what
he's obsessed with it.
What is interesting is that Sean Spicer, you wonder what the president's reaction to all of this is.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't react on Twitter to it,
didn't
right?
Didn't see that directly, but people were retweeting his tweet from a few years ago about the Emmys, and how it's all political.
Right.
And that The Apprentice didn't win, and that was wrong.
Right. That even came up in a debate where he said that the Apprentice should have won an Emmy. And mm-hmm. again, it's about the politics of personality as opposed to getting things done. Checking in at
number two.
One day after the Bears lost 29-7, here's Coach Fox.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, it's something that is, you know, is upstairs we talk about every day. You know, I think, you know, we had a pretty good feel of what we were doing to start with, and we still feel pretty good about that moving forward with Mike being the guy.
Mike Glennon being the quarterback.
Glennon's our quarterback.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Glennon's our quarterback.
Coach, what about Mitch Trubisky next week?
You know, we're playing, you know, probably, you know, it's arguably one of the better teams we're going to play this year, this week at home. So, you know, we're going to do everything in our power to, you know, look a little bit more like we did in week one than week two. You know, it gives us a chance.
Translation, we don't want our rookie quarterback to get killed by the Steelers.
Actually,
or the Packers.
What it meant was smush like a bug.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Killed's maybe an exaggeration.
Yeah. Well,
so
maybe not.
Best guess, Kevin, you're saying later in the season?
My guess before the season was week seven.
Week five.
Week five?
Week five.
That's a Monday night game against the Vikings.
Ooh, Monday night, I don't know.
Week seven's a noon game under the radar against the Panthers at home.
Mm-hmm.
You guys think I'm going to be around for that?
No. I don't know, Coach. Yeah.
Okay, me
good
neither.
Luck.
Someone else's decision.
Yeah. Yeah. Should I call a Washington Post reporter and do an interview and get fired?
Go for it.
Suicide by reporter.
It does seem to work if you're in the White House. I know about the Bears.
Just forget to say it's off the record.
Yeah. Call the Green Bay Gazette and do an interview.
I really like this team a lot. I think Green Bay's really good. I'm a fan.
Should do something like that.
A cheesehead, walk around with one of those cheeseheads.
Yeah, you should show up at the game with a cheesehead on. That'll get him fired. Yeah.
I'm with them.
All right.
Or he could scream out that what play they're going to run.
Yeah.
This is the quarterback option. Defend for it.
All right. They even run the quarterback. He couldn't even run the quarterback option with Mike Glennon.
No.
Who am I kidding?
But he might call that play.
Oh.
Godspeed, Coach Fox.
Thank you.
Checking in at, and finally,
number one.
All right. Boxing World is in disgust over what happened on Saturday night. There was a draw in a major, gigantic pay-per-view event. It was Triple G, that Golovkin guy, against that Canelo Alvarez. And then there was like a mystery judge who somehow gave the match to Alvarez, which caused the draw. And Stephen A. is having none of it.
Uh-oh. Stephen A.
Oh, wait, hold on. Teddy Atlas went berserk. Teddy Atlas. Was it with Stephen A?
Yes.
Oh, it's both of them. Yes, that's what I thought.
They're both going berserk.
Here's Teddy Atlas.
There's no oversight board in boxing. There's no commission. There's no national commission. No federal guidelines. Nobody looking and saying, can't do that. Can't do that. You can't be in charge. Promoter can't be in charge of who the judges are going to be. No, of course you want these judges. We're going to oversee it. We're going to police it. We're going to make sure that there's no corruption. There's nothing. There's everywhere else in the garment business, there's corruption. But there's an oversight in the Wall Street. There's corruption, but
there's an oversight, and there's consequences. Calm down.
Oh, Stephen A. is telling him to calm down.
Tells you to calm down. We have a problem. It's a very odd circumstance there, man.
Sportsbooks were forced to issue refunds. Long lines at sportsbooks after this.
What happens
a lot of
in a draw, then? You get a refund? Is that standard?
Yes, essentially. I mean, there's obviously something weird was going on here. People were not happy. The lines were long immediately following the fight at sportsbooks.
is a great sport. It's the greatest sport of all. This is the sport, the one sport, where on any given night, a kid from anywhere, from dirt floors to where he was, from a country that he didn't have the rights, he didn't have money, he had nothing but poverty, he didn't have parents, he didn't have anything. But he had it in his chest, in his heart, to work hard, to get in that ring, to be ready, to be trained. And on one given night, he can have his hand raised and be called champion of the world and make life fair, make the world fair. It's the only sport that can do that. The sport is beautiful, but the administrators of the sport, they stink.
Wow. Somebody's making a big deal of that.
All right. Let's close this thing up, shall we? That's how I feel about the world.
The top five at five.
Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Ro.
Yeah.
Did you look around behind you over there at Pioneer Court here along the corner of beautiful Michigan Avenue in Heaven right here by the Tribune Tower? Do you see something missing over there?
There's a man. There's an executive on his phone.
No. Something missing. Not something added something that seems strange. Something's missing from Pioneer Court.
It's
right
really
here.
Big.
It's... You're ginormous.
Oh, dudes, that guy.
Lincoln, you mean Abe? That guy?
Abraham Lincoln, yeah.
Abe's gone.
And Everyman.
And the Everyman guy next to him in the beige cable sweater. The cable in his sweater.
I called him Mr. Rogers.
They had a good run.
Thank God that thing's gone.
What do you mean, thank God?
I didn't understand it. Nobody understood it, and it creeped me out.
I like the Marilyn Monroe better.
Same artist.
It was embarrassing. Tourists would ask who the man was. And
everyone
like,
asked.
Yeah, it's you. It's everybody. It was dumb.
It's going to a museum in Peoria. That's where it's going. Peoria Riverfront Museum.
I don't think it's going to play there either.
In Peoria? Will it play in Peoria?
Hello. I think we should just put them like in the middle of a field. How creepy would that be?
You only see it from an airplane?
Yeah.
All right. So for those who are not familiar with it, there was a big statue, about four stories tall, of Abraham Lincoln and a guy wearing a cable knit sweater and khakis. Standing next to him, and they were looking at it. It was either a book or an iPad. I'm not quite sure. And it basically, Abe was lecturing the guy. And this, again, it's a four-story tall statue of, you know, two dudes, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. Do you call Abraham Lincoln a dude? I just did. I didn't mean it like that, sir. But, well, you know the point. So they're there, and it was. And the first time I saw him, I'm like, what in that? What is that? Why? Mm-hmm. Why is Abraham Lincoln standing here talking to a guy who is in a cable knit sweater? They didn't have cable knit sweaters back then.
No, right.
Or khakis.
We didn't dress khakis like that back then. We're pretty sure.
Well, I think so. Anyway, I never understood it, and people would say to me, who is that guy? The thing was, the question always asked was, who's the other guy? Everybody got who Abraham Lincoln was.
Yeah.
Who's the other guy? I didn't know, and I also didn't think it was one of those questions, you know, how art is supposed to provoke inquiry.
Sure.
I know that because it's very important and very fancy. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It didn't provoke a question I thought was particularly relevant to anything, which is, who's that guy? that's every man. Well, all right. Okay, so Abraham Lincoln's talking to every man about what?
I'm offended by that. Not every man looks that way, okay?
You kind of look like that, Kevin.
I do, kind of a little bit.
Yeah, like as an older version of you.
Pretty much average looking guy, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really like the fancy sweat. I don't wear those sweaters, though.
No.
But you see a lot of those in Mount Prospect, don't you?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Walking their dogs.
Yeah, guys walking their dogs.
Basic khakis, mm-hmm. Some white New Balances.
It's exactly what the guy was wearing.
Yeah, it really was. But it's...
some trouble with my feet.
Sensible shoes.
So I decided to wear these so that way, because I don't know. I have a little bit of diabetic sensitivity in my feet.
That's what I imagined the guy saying, you know, as he was standing there. That's just sort of, you know, that's why he was wearing the sensible white shoes.
I feel like he's also bothering Abraham Lincoln. Like, right. Why would the average man be talking to Abraham Lincoln?
Because he talks to everyone in the neighborhood.
Well, and Abraham Lincoln was a guy who talked to everybody, too. Did you ever see that Lincoln movie? Mm-hmm. I doubt you did. But if you did.
I did.
You saw it? All right, so he did. Remember to have a conversation with anybody about anything? He was just
I'm pretty
telling
sure his
stories.
Kids were like, be quiet.
Yeah.
Stop talking.
Right, like you are with your dad?
A little different. because my dad's not Abraham Lincoln.
Just ask him. So the, I guess,
yeah,
it's gone. It's and fine. It's,
celebrate the state's bicentennial.
More importantly, what's coming up next?
Well, that's interesting.
The Apple Store is coming into our little square here.
Mid-October, we're going to see that.
It's going to be beautiful. It is shaped like a laptop. I mean, when people come downtown, this is one of the really cool new pieces of public architecture here, which is this big glass box that is on the river. And it's from street level at Pioneer Court on Michigan Avenue, it looks like it's only, you know, one level tall. But if you get across the river and you look at it, you can see it's a four-level big glass box.
Because it's built down to the river, and it's pretty spectacular.
And the top of it is a laptop. It's like the roof of it is like you would open up a laptop.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really cool idea.
It is. So we're excited about that. But this particular artist is responsible for the Marilyn Monroe, the famous the skirt going up over the grate sculpture, and also the man and his wife, the farmer type guy. Remember that big
with the
ginormous
pitchfork,
right?
You mean like sculpture? American Gothic?
Yeah, wasn't it a play on that, though? Or was, I think it was.
I don't remember that one.
And that was out here, too, wasn't it?
It was. Same artist.
Oh, God, what does he have next?
He's going to have something.
Not some of the cable knit sweater. Can you give me something fun?
Something cool.
Yeah. I'm sick and tired of this. Bring Marilyn Monroe back. And like every doofus, you went and stood under the skirt and looked up.
A Ditka
got your
statue
picture.
For football season.
I'm sorry, what?
Ditka. Mike Ditka.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you did get like the pervy types underneath the Marilyn Monroe.
It's like, dude,
sculpture.
Let's go
like,
under
all right,
her
we've
dress.
Seen that. We
like,
get it.
Yeah.
We're looking
right.
up her skirt.
There was a line of frat bros that were just.
They thought they were the first ones to
right.
do it, and they were drunk.
Frat
and...
bros? My dad was under there and making me take a picture of him.
Oh, gosh.
But there was nothing even to see down there.
No, and
like
where
ugly.
You had to stand underneath it because there was nowhere
You wanted
no
to see if there was
to
something
stand.
To see.
Yeah.
This could be your only chance to see Marilyn Monroe's junk, so this was it. It turns out there wasn't anything down there.
No, it really wasn't.
Yeah.
It was
as disappointing as Barbie was when you were an eight-year-old boy stealing from your sister, and you're like, hey, oh, no.
You want to meet G.I. Joe, Barbie?
Nothing there. All right. Speaking of frat bros, did you see the Farmer Bro story today?
No.
The Martin Shkreli
guy?
Has been, now he has been thrown into the clink. He's awaiting sentencing after being convicted.
Mm-hmm.
But because he was trying to pay people to pull Hillary Clinton's hair. Did you see this? He was going to pay people, anybody who could verifiably pull Hillary Clinton's hair if they saw her in public, he was going to pay money to. A judge decided to throw him behind bars because he was, it was basically encouraging a terroristic act or something like that, whatever the rule was mm-hmm. that he broke. And the New York tabloids are having a field day with this guy sitting in the Metropolitan Correctional Center in New York,
mm-hmm.
awaiting being shipped off to some encampment somewhere
mm-hmm.
where he is going. It's going to be like, private pile. In Full Metal Jacket. One night they're going to hold him down on his bunk and hit him with soap bars wrapped in towels.
Oh,
I think that's what's going to, I think you're going to see that happen.
They put out a list of all the food choices he has at that particular facility, correctional facility, and it really didn't look that bad.
No. You can get a soy hot dog.
This is in Brooklyn, is that where it is?
I think it's in Manhattan.
Manhattan.
I believe it's in Manhattan. The Metropolitan Detention. No, this he's at the detention center in Brooklyn. You're right. Mm-hmm. The Brooklyn Detention Center. There's also a center in holding place in Manhattan as well. But this is in Brooklyn. He can get, which of course in Brooklyn, you got to have hipster stuff. All the jail guards at the Brooklyn Detention Center wear skinny suits with skinny ties.
I bet they do.
And big clunky shoes.
Mm-hmm.
But their pants are tapered at the ankle.
Very tight fitting.
It's very tight fitting.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's going to be held in the same place where they have members of people trying to plot with the Islamic State.
Oh, good.
So
well, he can get along with them very
ISIS
well.
ISIS bros, and then some crime family members, including crime family captain Vincent Asaro and Edgar Vadia.
Oh.
So they're going to be there with them.
So soy hot dogs and soy burgers. I have a feeling that Farmer Bro is going to get one of those shoved in a place he shouldn't have. It would not normally go.
Oh.
Nose, ear, eye socket. I just have a feeling.
Can't imagine he'll be terribly popular. He always has that smug on his face.
No.
The smug smile look on his face that, oh, gosh.
They also have turkey burgers, vegetable soup. You can get a chicken wrap or hummus wrap.
See, that sounds kind of good.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Yeah, it sounds great.
What would you think you were going to get, Kevin?
Yeah, ISIS guys are getting the hummus wrap. I can tell you that right now.
I would think you get more like soupy things, like stew that's like leftovers.
You think
leftovers.
They want stew?
No.
Maybe like PB&J and Sloppy Joe's?
I don't think that the ISIS guys are going to go for that. I think they're definitely, every day it's the hummus for them. Or maybe cream of broccoli soup? I don't know. Oh, God, that's going to be bad in prison.
They do a nice cream of broccoli at the prison.
Oh, yeah. About 2 hours later. Who had the broccoli?
I mean, you have nothing else to do other than just sit around.
They have roast beef, beef tacos, Sloppy Joe's. Oh, Sloppy Joe.
That's where they hide the bad meat. That's it.
Yeah, the Sloppy Joe. If you,
yeah, you got
to
worry
no
about
matter
that.
What, whether, and, I mean, everybody knows this. You don't have to go to prison to know that the Sloppy Joe is not a good plan.
Really?
You need to go to
school. Growing
up,
it was like the most American thing.
Yeah, but it was always the day after you had hamburgers.
Yes.
And it was just like them throwing all the leftover patties.
I only had it like at my friend's house. I'm like, I just invented. Like,
you never
I
had
just,
it at school?
No.
So if you ever had institutional Sloppy Joes, you know that it is basically prison food.
I've had it at CPS. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it was the worst.
You know what they were doing there.
Did that turn you off meat forever?
That was part of the reason, honestly, that I did become a vegetarian because of some of the food service food that I ate.
Not Salisbury just, steak, I loved.
I hated the French dip because it was really, really hard meat that you had to dip into something in order to make it soft enough to chew it.
And you got the hot and cold plates, like the metal one and the white one with the little salad. I loved my hot lunches.
And I remember the donuts at CPS, they were in plastic bags that they dipped into hot water to heat them up, make them not so hard.
And if you begged the cooks, they'd give you an extra butter roll. Good old days.
Very positive.
Oh, my God.
Feel it.
Aren't you an adult now?
And there's Italian dippers. Do you remember the Italian dippers? They're like breadsticks with mozzarella cheese stuffed inside with marinara.
You know what I would like to do? I'd like to, in order to really exact the revenge on Martin Shkreli for everything he has done to humanity, I want to put him in a cell with Violetta and have her describe this to him for hours.
I'm so excited for the Sloppy Joe tonight. Are you?
You going to go soy dog?
Hello?
Or broccoli soup?
How do you think they make it?
Hey, Abraham, are you going with the hummus wrap again? All right. Here's Violetta with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here, 720 WGN. There you go.
Yep.
All right. Much to get to. By the way, we have coming up, and not enough Bears coverage for you today right here on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Adam Hoge is going to join us.
There's a lot to break down there.
Oh, no.
Tear apart.
Oh, he's going to say bad things too, isn't he?
He might, Coach. I'm just warning you ahead of time.
Yeah.
Hang in there. Hang in there.
Maybe he can highlight the good parts of that game.
Yeah.
Did anyone see me?
Trying to think.
There's something, right?
It was great weather that day.
I was going to say that, but
pretty.
No, it wasn't.
It was
they said the heat index was extremely high there, and it was muggy and hot.
Yeah,
and
real
nasty.
Hot. I was sweating underneath my bear hat.
Were you thirsty?
Yeah, I always am.
Sometimes people take a drink of water when they're, you know, hot.
I don't.
Sweaty.
I haven't had a drink of water since last May. A year ago. 2016.
Septembers are always rough for the coach, right, Kev?
Yeah.
What was that stat again? I forgot.
They haven't won in September with Fox as their head coach.
What? What?
Yeah.
Who needs September? We got other months.
Hey, speaking of this, Tom Brady has now issued kind words for Colin Kaepernick.
Isn't that nice? He's such a class act, that Tom Brady.
Other than he cheats.
When asked whether the controversial quarterback figure should get another shot to play in the NFL, Tom Brady was like, golly, I sure hope so. He's like Dudley Do-Right. He's like an astronaut.
Says the right thing at the right time.
Colin Kaepernick, do you think he can play again in the NFL?
I sure hope so. You know, I've always watched him and admired him, the way that he's played. He, you know, was a great young quarterback. He came to our stadium and beat us and took his team to the Super Bowl in 2012. You know, he accomplished a lot in the pros as a player, and he's certainly qualified, and I hope he gets a shot.
Mm-hmm. See? I like that Norah O'Donnell sat down with Tom Brady because it was pitched as a, he talks about diet and how to perform as an older athlete. I'm like, Norah O'Donnell just wanted to meet Tom Brady.
That's like really true. That is really true.
It was not considered a hard-hitting interview.
Well, it was really great because she sat there and she did that thing where she put her elbows on the desk and then made a little basket with her hands and then put her chin.
Tell me
in
more.
Oh, Tom.
What else can you tell me?
Your eyes are so pretty. So you have 4 walnuts a day, is that right?
And you don't do strawberries, right? Because he doesn't.
He's not a strawberry guy?
No.
What is his diet is very ridiculous, isn't
it? He and his wife have put out books about their diet and what to eat. It is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like they have. He literally has like 4 walnuts, 1 cashew because it's very heavy in fat.
He's probably sneaking a cheeseburger. And pizza
I don't think. No,
there.
I don't think so.
I think he's very strict. They both are in their household. They do.
That's no fun.
Yeah.
They do the green drinks like the Blackhawks players do, and. They eat extremely healthy.
I like eating healthy all day and then in the middle of the night getting hungry and just shoving my mouth with anything and everything that's bad for me.
Right.
Write a
and
book then I'm on like, that.
You should really write that. That's true.
And then I'm like, did that happen or was that a dream? And the chocolate.
That always
on my
ends well, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Proof.
So he starts his day with a quick chug of 20 fluid ounces of water that's amped up with electrolytes.
Okay. All right.
12 to 24 more glasses throughout the day.
How many?
12 to 24
additional
glasses.
That seems excessive.
Do you know how many times I'd go to the bathroom if I drank that much water?
Yeah, we're not interested. All right, go ahead. Keep going. We want to know what he does.
He does the smoothies. Almond milk is his choice for the base on the smoothies. Uh-huh. Protein powder. Never with a carb, only vegetables. And he makes sure.
So does he put like vegetables inside the almond milk?
Sure, you can do
that. It's like sweet. What kind of vegetables?
Well, you can do kale. You can make it green. You know, that's what the Blackhawks players do. They won't tell us what's in the drink other than there is kale in that drink. And he makes sure most of what he eats is alkalizing. He does eat burgers, but
alkalize.
Oh
my God. Violetta got one right. This worries me.
No, but they're made of chicken or salmon, his burgers.
That's not a burger.
And they usually come with salad. Few carbs. Occasional pasta made with brown rice flour.
Wow, nope. Really splurging there, huh?
Yeah.
No
tea. Well, it's brown rice flour. Though.
That is
that's
cheat day?
Yeah.
Brown rice today.
Brown rice. Honey,
yay.
What are we going to have? You know what? I just brought some brown rice flour. I'm going to bring it into the house.
Okay.
You're gaining a little weight. I noticed that there's skin. I actually don't see your organs through the translucency of the saran wrap that was once your skin on your stomach.
And occasionally has bone broth.
Bone broth?
Wow. Really going all out.
Thing. Mm-hmm.
I've had bone broth before.
No.
That was in that movie.
Don't ruin bone broth. Oh, gosh.
Bruce and Casey were having all that trouble, and they had to have bone broth. That's what Bruce said to Casey. Why don't we have bone broth and have your stepdaughter over?
I was thinking of Senator Cruz because I think he's responsible. Chipotle's earnings were down, and they said that people weren't really digging the queso. And I was thinking, well, Ted Cruz ruined that for all of America. That's why.
It's the only thing that makes you feel better about what happened in that movie, Bruce and Casey, was the fact that there was that I could have queso and make myself feel all better.
You probably
I know
queso.
It's bad for me.
Very emotional.
Yeah. Eating queso during that video might be the only thing more disgusting than everything about that whole scenario.
It's hard to do because queso's real hot.
Right.
And it's kind of salty too in case, you know, definitely don't want any kind of trouble down there.
But sometimes you got to go crazy, you know?
All right.
Anyway,
I got to get back to the Tom Brady diet. Yeah.
Because we haven't finished this yet. Yeah. Basically, he's saying that all of what he's doing, people can say, hey, that's really tough to do. And it is because you read his book. I don't know how anyone would do this without a personal chef and, you know, tons of dough. But he says that, hey, Peyton Manning could barely throw at 39. So obviously this works. I mean, he's
oh, my God. He took a shot at Peyton Manning?
At 39, Peyton Manning no longer could throw the way he used to. He missed 7 starts with a foot injury, had a 67.9 passer rating.
Brady said that?
Yeah.
Oh, throwing shade. Wow. Wow.
I don't think he's talking facts. He's not throwing shade. He's saying he missed 7 starts.
And that's because he doesn't eat 8
because
almonds.
Because he's blaming him for not eating the kale.
A 67 passer rating. Easily the worst of his career. And he knew it was time to exit the arena. I think that's factual. Right?
Brady, you can do whatever you want. Don't be...
It's a little crappy of him, don't you think?
Oh, my gosh. You're just looking for reasons to...
No! I mean, why are you calling out a guy who retired? who was, you know, arguably one of the best of his era. And Brady, if you count the
greatest
Super Bowls, you're going to have to count him as the greatest of the era. But you know, Peyton Manning's certainly number two in that. Why would you do that?
You're just looking for reasons.
I think that's a shot at Manning in those chicken parm commercials.
That probably is.
It's a clear shot.
Chicken parm, it tastes so good.
Peyton Manning's a friend of the Northwestern Wildcat program,
Go Cats.
I'm team Manning here.
Yeah, I'm team Manning too. Peyton Manning is one of the coolest,
funny
professional athletes of all time. He's funny. He's likable. Tom Brady's not likable, and he's a cheater.
Now he's eating
green drink, a salmon burger, and he cheats with brown rice flour pasta.
It's working for him. I'm telling you, it's totally working for him.
And bone broth. What does that even
bone
mean?
Bone broth is good for you. You could actually, if you cook your rice or your pasta in it, it can be a lot of nutrients in bone broth. The TB12 method is his new book. So if you want to know more,
There's a book behind it all.
Yeah.
See, that's he needs to make more money.
Sounds like he's getting ready for retirement, making sure he's got that revenue stream coming in.
Yeah.
That's why
he's talking to
retire.
Nora O'Donnell. That's why they agreed to the interview with Nora O'Donnell, so he could sell his stinking book.
It's an anti-inflammatory.
Maybe there's a bone in the middle of it that you could take out and put it in your brain. Here, put this in boiling water. Good luck.
He's saying the potato chips, the white bread, the chicken nuggets, they don't exist in nature, and that you really shouldn't build your diet on them.
What is a potato? How does a potato chip not exist in nature?
Does he use an iPhone?
Because it's buried, he hasn't seen it, doesn't exist. The potato exists in nature.
I think the potato chip is kind of an extreme version of the potato, right? It's dipped in fats and oil and fried and all that stuff. So, yeah, they're very tasty. I love them. I like the – what's the New Orleans version that we get?
The Voodoo from Popeyes.
Love those. My favorite, but
– it's a solid chip. It's no Dorito.
Tom Brady's not eating them.
Well,
he took
for
all
him.
The fun out of life.
Too busy having bone broth and a pea shoot.
Eating the smoothies, the blueberries, the bananas.
I just feel bad for him. I'm hungry thinking about how hungry he has to be.
I know.
I think he's hungry.
Exactly what I'm thinking now.
Yeah, I'm going for tacos immediately after the show.
Yeah.
I'm starving.
Steak or chicken?
I'm going to go beef and pork and chicken.
Yeah, just put it in a plate and just put your face in it.
Right, just give me something fatty and delicious.
For a snack, if you're Tom Brady, you'll have fruit or a protein bar or maybe a protein shake.
Okay. Tea shake?
With 4 scoops of protein powder in it.
Okay.
All right.
Well, that doesn't exist in nature. Protein powder.
Protein does.
He probably doesn't do a fun flavor like chocolate. He probably just does like the chalky flavor.
I want to know, like, when was the last time that a mountain lion chased down protein powder? Right? Was there a canister of protein powder somewhere, and there was a mountain lion stalking it, like, you know, through the forest?
Yeah, maybe.
And then it was like, finally, in the mountain lion's head, it was like, you know what I got to do? I got to get that protein powder. No.
No, that's
bulking up season.
No, potato chips, maybe. When bears come, I can tell you this right now. When bears like break into people's cars at Yosemite steal
the
stuff,
it's the potato chips.
They're going for the potato chips. They are not going for the protein powder.
No, they're not.
They would leave Tom and Giselle's car totally unmolested if bears tried to break into it at Yosemite. Please.
Mix in a steak, TB12.
Yeah.
Preferably medium rare.
I'm just going to take the bone out of it and put it in some broth. That's what I'm going to do. And then I'm going to sell my book, Nora O'Donnell. I Know You Love Me.
Oh. I'm not sure she'd sit down with him quite as quickly.
I cheated with my balls.
To me, those balls are perfect.
Sing it, Tommy.
I can only speak for myself. I don't want anyone touching the balls, rubbing the balls. To me, those balls are perfect.
And after a witch hunt, goes back to stage the greatest comeback in the history of Super Bowls. There you go.
Ball cheater. Here is Violetta Pademetic with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.
The USS Indianapolis found after 72 years. Hear reaction from Illinois' only living survivor. That's tonight's cover story on WGN TV News at 9.
That's an incredible story right there.
I want to watch that.
That is definitely worth seeing.
Yes.
And against incredible television last night, at the Emmys last night, which mm-hmm. was interesting watching, especially since Sean Spicer appeared in it.
Surprise to everybody.
Yeah, including the White House, apparently.
They didn't know.
be interesting to see what the reaction was to that. Well, you know, the problem the White House is having right now is clear that it's filled with leakers, and it's a bunch of people now that are not quite sure what's happening, where it's going, why it's going to happen, why how anything's going to get done. Mm-hmm. Democrats, Republicans, everybody is scratching their heads because the president seems to be freelancing here. And now you have this very weird story, and I think that you're going to see this develop into something. This very weird story where the two lawyers, the private lawyers who were working for the president, were sitting outside a very, very highly trafficked steakhouse, having lunch, speaking loudly about the problems that are happening in the White House, right next to the New York Times headquarters.
Yeah.
In Washington, which I think it could be reasonably assumed that they knew they were going to be overheard by people who might be able to print their story and get traction with their story, although anybody could put anything on social media.
Well, it's just stupid. And I mean, if they weren't intending this to get out, then it just seems like a novice mistake for two lawyers like this with such juicy information to be discussing it that openly and that loudly that people at other tables could hear.
Right. It's a something right there. There's a something going on.
It is a something.
On.
And then the talk of the paranoia within the White House, accusing that maybe some others within the White House were wearing a wire for Bob Mueller.
So things are not going well. And then the president, his decision then at the UN today is, you know, we're going to do a military parade next 4th of July. Like he's some sort of like third world dictator. He should get himself a uniform too. He should do that thing. Like those guys have like a khaki uniform with a hat that's all kind of jacked up in the front. And sunglasses with a sidearm and a cigar sticking out of his shirt pocket. That's what he should be doing. Rolled up sleeves. Like, come on. This is the United States of America. Can we start acting like it? Am I wrong about that?
I think trying to top France by having a military parade.
We don't have to top France.
The wrong way to go.
That's what he said he wanted to do. He said France had a nice one. We have to have a better one than France. No. No, we don't. Nobody does. We already are. We have the best military in the world. We don't have to show it off. That's the whole point of being the United States of America. We carry the big stick. We don't show it. Right? I mean, people, they know it when they see it. We're not playing that kind of a game. That's for lesser lights, not for us. All right. Well, whatever. What do I, you know what? He's not listening to me, is he?
I don't know. I keep trying.
Tom Brady's not listening to me. No one's, I don't know what's going on. Like, if they would just take my advice, this would be a much better place. And that goes for Coach John Fox. Mm-hmm. Screw you. Adam Hogue is going to join us coming up to talk about what happened at Hallis Hall today. And it was not pretty. It was not pretty. That's going to happen coming your way in 2 minutes after Judy Pylax News.
This is your favorite song, isn't it, Coach?
Yeah.
You go to your raves, dance parties?
After the game, let loose.
Coach Fox, pump fisting at the club.
I like to do that kind of Russian dancing where I get down and I kick my feet out. Hey. I do a lot of that.
How does that go at the club?
Not well.
Not so well, no. Yeah.
It's sort of like my offense right now, not doing so well.
No.
No, not at all.
Not a whole lot.
Is it how
clicking.
You lost your voice screaming at the clubs all the time?
I know. I lost it years ago. Shot right to the windpipe.
Voice had a good run.
It really didn't.
No.
Adam Hogue is joining us. He's our Bears insider. And Adam, I got a few questions for you. You know, we had Ed Obradovich on earlier. And even Ed Obradovich was speechless by the horror that was the Bears' attempt at anything in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I heard OB earlier, and I felt similar after the game yesterday going on with those guys with the locker room report. I mean, I just – I had to listen back to what John – I mean, I was in the room with John Fox, and I still had to go back and listen to it a couple times to really process what he was saying about Mike Glennon's performance.
Right.
Yesterday. And then today, he says, well, it was no different when I looked at the tape. But then he started to finally admit that, yeah, maybe his quarterback didn't play well yesterday. Maybe there were two or three plays that the quarterback would like to have back. I would think so.
Adam, he also had some head-scratching comments when he said today at Hallis Hall that they're developing two quarterbacks. And I'm just sitting there like, what? The only quarterback that matters in terms of development is Mitch Trubisky. Mike Glennon's a holdover. He's a veteran. He's a one-and-done type guy. So for them to even – everything should be surrounded about the development of Mitch Trubisky. That's it. That's what this year is about.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this a lot in the last 24 hours. Really,
glad
the question,
someone has.
Yeah, really the question. By the way, I think that I'm gonna start forwarding the John Fox's transcripts to Roe. And then, Kevin, during your sports cast, when it's time to play a John Fox cut, just have Roe do it. And
right,
then
instead. I like
at
that.
At least, like, it still won't really make sense, but at least it'll be more entertaining.
I like that.
Because I just, what does John Fox have to gain right now with playing? Am I cutting it out with you guys?
Was that just slightly.
In my headset. I was trying to figure that out. Sorry. But what does John Fox have to gain by continuing to play Glennon here?
I think at this point, doesn't it feel like it's just a matter of like the right situation for Trubisky, like not putting him against the Steelers or the Packers this early on, which I guess you can make the case for it doesn't really matter, but does it feel that way? Like that is that the actual case here, or are they just being stubborn with not putting Trubisky in?
Well, I continue to think that this has to be coming from above because, to me, the only one that really has a something to really gain from Glennon playing well is Ryan Pace, who was the one that spent $18.5 million guaranteed on this quarterback before he drafted Mitch Trubisky and clearly believes it's the right thing to slowly develop Trubisky, which I understand, and isn't nearly on as much of a hot seat as John Fox is. But Fox is the one that really, yesterday reminded me, you remember the last Mark Trestman season in 2014 when they went to New England?
Oh, who can forget?
And they got blasted. Mm-hmm. That was the first day where I remember sitting there going, maybe this guy might actually lose his job by the end of the year. And then they had a bye week, and then they went to Green Bay, and they got killed again. It was like 45-0 by halftime. And then that's when I was really like, okay, this is a problem. So I'm not saying we're there yet, but yesterday was the first day where I started to kind of accept this idea that John Fox might actually be in trouble here. And so he needs to win games. And I'm sorry, there's no one that can make a compelling argument that Mike Glennon gives you a better chance to beat the Steelers on Sunday than Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, and I remember talking to you in preseason. We asked you, well, what does John Fox have to do to keep his job? And for me, it was avoiding games like this, which I thought they would turn the corner here this season. And after week one, it was like, okay, they'll be competitive. It'll be an okay season. You know, you'll develop Trubisky, blah, 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 blah. And then these are the types of games we've seen over and over the past 3 or 4 years, whether it's with Trestman or whether it's with Fox. It was a complete disaster. And I thought this was the year they would kind of turn the corner there, but it's the same old story.
It is, and that's really the key big picture takeaway from yesterday. That's exactly it. I mean, and I asked Fox about that after the game yesterday because we sat in that exact same room after the game last year, and it was the exact same blowout loss. And that was last November. You're supposed to make progress. And the progress here at a minimum that you just said, Kevin, you're right. In these first 4 weeks of the season, I predicted they'd go 1-3 to start the year, but 0-4 was –
pretty likely still.
It was how they were losing these games.
But yeah. It wasn't they were going to get blown out in any of them. They were going to be competitive against these good teams that they're facing here early in the season. Yesterday was not competitive. That is a scary lack of progress from last season when they only won three games.
And this is one of the games that I think a lot of people thought Mike Glennon would really prove his stuff, at least, you know, to be in that position that he's in. Is his former team. He knew the defense. You know, he's back with that team that he you would think he could form really well against, and this seemed to be such a disaster that you wonder, is it possible later this week we may hear the team say, hey, Trubisky's in? Shock us a little bit, maybe.
I thought maybe as much as John Fox dismissed it yesterday immediately following the game, I didn't completely put so much stock in that.
He wouldn't say it.
It was right after the game, but he really doubled down today on that Glennon starting Sunday. He didn't really leave much wiggle room.
Here's the thing with Glennon. In 2 weeks, we've already seen his ceiling and we've seen the floor with Glennon. We've seen how bad it can be, which was yesterday, and we've seen basically week one is about as good as you're going to get from Mike Glennon.
And they still lost that game.
And they still lost. I mean,
and they're going to lose. And I don't even know that they show up for if I were them. I've been asking for this for the last couple of years. A forfeit is not the worst thing in the world. Let's just say that Hurricane Maria is we can't do it because of that. We're not available.
Maria's not.
Or how about we just we do like what I do on Halloween is I turn off the lights. I don't answer the door when the Steelers show up.
We're busy.
Home.
Is that sort of like
we got that thing at noon?
And then it's Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's Green Bay
on a short week.
Oh,
and then
gosh.
It's 0-4.
Lord, don't let them go 0-4.
And they will.
And then who knows what could happen after that?
Do you remember last year when we played that song?
Mm-hmm.
We were like, oh my God, they're going to go 0-4,
mm-hmm.
And it was going to be awful. And we're like, what about 0-5? You know. What and now I see no way that they don't go 0-4. And it's only two games into the season. They've lost half the team already to injury.
I know.
Yeah. Now, I got to go down a road here with you, Adam. And I don't want to get your credentials pulled or you thrown out of Hallis Hall. So now, you know, tighten up. Okay. But I did hear something I thought was really interesting. Dan Hampton was talking about this. There have been a spate of injuries, of connective tissue injuries in the NFL. And there's a theory about this that it has to do with guys who are PED users. Because the guys who are using performance-enhancing drugs, they overwork out. They have a tendency to get little tears in the connective tissues around the muscles. And so when you're seeing large muscle groups have tears or things like that, whether it's, you know, biceps, pecs, thighs, things, places where you're hearing the kinds of injuries you didn't really hear about in generations past.
Yeah.
That are now, you know, wide ranging in the NFL. That Hampton was at least making the argument that the league's got to look into that and see if there's any sort of connectivity to this, literally to the connective tissue issues, and you know you're hearing. I mean the Bears have been just a triage organization for the last three seasons. It's just injury after injury. Last year we made a whole bit about the injury report. Right. And then now we made such fun of it last year. They don't even do it anymore.
I there's a lot of theories out there. And I mean, who knows? Maybe there is some validity to that. I think part of it, too, is better football players don't get hurt as often because in a given play, they have the advantage. Okay, and when you have the advantage, you avoid awkward hits, things like that. Now, still, guys, certainly tear their ACL, and you see devastating injuries for even some of the top stars in the league. But on a given play, like if you're a linebacker who's reaching your arm out kind of awkwardly because you're not necessarily in the right position or you're about to hit someone who's actually bigger than you, maybe that's where your arm bends the wrong way and all of a sudden your pec tears. Okay, now I'm not saying that's what happened to Nick Kwiatkowski yesterday, but these are the types of things. When you're bigger, stronger, faster, you're less likely to get hurt when you're playing a dangerous sport and you're facing another guy who might be smaller than you. So the Bears don't have the most talented players in the world. Maybe that has something to do with it.
Yeah, that's it.
I think the biggest thing that I've just noticed from my time covering the league is mm-hmm. I think the CBA, that they signed about 6 years now, which really scaled back the amount of practice time and the amount of hitting you do in the offseason, really has had effect on the injuries because their bodies just are not conditioned as well to withstand these blows that they face on Sundays when they're not practicing at all during the summer. And I do think that that has had an effect.
Oh, boy.
If it makes you wonder how Pittsburgh is fearing the Bears, the Pittsburgh Gazette has five things to know about your opponent in week three, and it's quarterback, a question mark, Jordan Howard struggling, Terry Cohen a wild card, and receivers an issue, turnover margin also an issue.
Well, I noticed what was interesting. Atlanta did not game plan for Terry Cohen. They did not see him come.
No, that's true. Yeah.
He's no longer a secret.
Right.
And the Bucs clearly did.
Yeah. But the Bucs were like, okay, they got nothing but this guy.
That's it.
So let's just focus. If he's on, we're going to make sure that he's the centerpiece to everything. And which then one would imagine that the offense would adjust to that and use a lot of play action and misdirection concerning him. But they didn't seem to write that plan. And I'm astounded by the ineptness of an NFL team like this. That you, how does, and you know, I was so proud of OB yesterday when he said this on a show, and then he basically said it again today to us, which is how does the founding franchise of the NFL not, With the money that these businesses make, how does this organization not right the ship to be at least competitive? I mean, they are the doormat of the NFL, and if this happened to the New York Giants, believe me, the New York Giants had some lean years, but it was never as bad as this. If this had happened to the Green Bay Packers, this would not, you know, again, lean years, but never like this.
The Steelers? When have you ever seen them had a downstretch like this, where it's been embarrassment for 3 years?
Real franchises with real, you know, with real traditions. Even, you know, newer franchises like the San Francisco 49ers, which would, you know, have a great winning tradition. I mean, this has just got to stop. And the Chicago Bears are so emblematic of the NFL. I mean, when you stop and you think about the NFL Hall of Fame and the representation by the Chicago Bears, and you think about George Halas and the founding and the Halas Trophy, I mean, it's one of the most important franchises in sports, let alone the NFL. And to let it fall into this level of disrepair, quite honestly, I think that John Fox has lost his motivation to really be, I mean, I think this is a blizzard of a market to work in when the press turns on you. I get it. I mean, it's happened to a lot of other guys.
Hard for the players too, I think, like Glennon, for instance.
Right. Well, because, but the team did that to Glennon because they hired him and then they pumped him up. And then 2 weeks later, they traded up a position to get the guy at number two, who was going to go at number three. Mm-hmm. It's just impossible.
Well, a few things to respond to there. One, I do think that going back to John Fox's immediate arrival here in Chicago, in that whole controversy with Kevin White's injury, where he didn't really tell the complete truth, and then he seemed caught off guard by the media's reaction to, like, wait a minute, why are you lying to us? And why are you restricting all these, you know, restricting our access, which has never happened before? That really kind of set this whole thing in the wrong way, I feel like, going back a few years ago. And then meanwhile, you know, just kind of responding to what you're talking, by the way, four playoff appearances in 23 years, the Chicago Bears.
Yeah,
that's really bad. And the thing I've really noticed just real quick in the last couple seasons is just the apathy that's kind of starting to set in, not just locally. And by the way, bro, have you ever heard of a season opener where almost 5,000 people didn't show up?
Yeah, no.
5,000 people didn't show up to the season opener for the Chicago Bears. What's it going to look like Sunday when the Pittsburgh Steelers, whose fans always travel well?
Yeah, it's going to see a sea of gold and black or whatever the hell color that is. It's not throwback, is it? Because when they put that throwback on, they look at the Three Stooges like bumblebees, right? It's awful.
They do look like
those are the worst jerseys.
Yeah. They are. Oh.
I kind of like him.
All right. Thank you, Coach Fox. Coach Fox will have a wonderful career as an assistant somewhere. You know, I mean,
this might be the last stop.
Yeah, he might be headed to retirement after this.
This is, well, I can tell you this. It's done now. because if he goes 0-4, he's gone by. Maybe they wait. Maybe they, you know, they. He has the one Hail Mary of Mitch Trubisky starting in Minnesota, and then if that doesn't go well, it's over. He's gone by the middle. He'll be the first casualty of the NFL season. All right.
Don't rule it out.
I can't rule out. I just said it. Not allowed. All right, Adam, thank you very much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you, Adam.
Thanks, Adam.
See you, Adam Hogue. Here is Violetta with the last traffic report of the afternoon.